Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Jessica.
June.
You know, I have to check in.
Yeah.
Because I am currently...
You don't have COVID again, do you?
No.
Are you with child?
No, I... It's such a good question. We did have to give someone in our family a COVID test this morning. We don't have COVID.
I had to give one to baby.
It is what it is, right? But I am so premenstrual.
Okay.
That's right. I have a heating pad on. I slept with one wrapped around me. Last night.
Yep.
And I am feeling agitated.
Great. I'm in a swimsuit.
And I screamed at my kids on the lawn. Okay, great. I want to see that. You look so cute. I screamed at my kids on the lawn today. You know, in the front yard in public.
Yep. No shame in that game.
They wanted to go for a walk with me and the dog, and then one of them came out without shoes on.
Nope.
And I was like,
No shoes, no service.
Exactly. And I was like, I can't cut this walk short. Like, he needs this morning walk. And then the other one was like, I'm not going to camp today. And I was like,
Get back in the fucking house.
And I literally was like, guys, I'm going to start walking. And whoever coming is coming. And I'm like, and you get back there and get shoes on. Yeah. And I lost it, you know, in the front yard. Now, I have memories of, I always felt we were the only family. It was like screaming in public.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure my neighbors heard many like screaming matches from the front lawn. Yeah, but it just didn't feel, you know, it didn't feel great. And then I came back and one of my, you know, Sam had run into the house. He was very upset that I yelled at him. And then when I came back, I gave a whole speech about like, we have an animal. This is his time. I spend the whole morning taking care of you. Like, you want to come on the walk? Come on the walk. You don't want to come on the walk? And a whole, you know, whole rigmarole.
Good.
And then Sam was like, you made me cry.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry I made you cry, you know. And he goes, what would happen if I didn't forgive you?
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Sam is on a different plane. This is his 4,000th time around this sun. He's been on this planet since BC. I'm telling you, it's his 4,000th life.
And I'm just like, well, I would be really upset. And he was like, okay, I mean, I do, but basically just letting me know, like, there's a world in which I don't, you know, that possibility is one that I'm toying with. Anyway, Jess, so, I always think I got my moans under control. And then they
fuck you.
And that's,
don't take it on.
I'm heavy with moans. And I pulled a card this morning and I got this card, which says cooling down, which I've never seen before. And basically, like, the whole card is about how much rage is in my body right now and how I gotta cool it down.
Yeah.
So that's how I am, Jess, but I'm looking at you and you're in a mint green suit and the door's open and it looks like there's a nice breeze and it's bright and sunny. And how are you?
But I want to just be very clear.
I want to be where you are.
Yeah, but I just want to be clear. Like, yesterday, it was raining, and I gave it to everybody. Everybody got
man, woman, beast. Yeah.
I did a dramatic, first of all, I was like Joe Pesci at the end of it. Like, gave a dramatic monologue about how like nobody cares about me and my needs. And then I stormed out of the house, which just felt so good. And then it was pouring rain. And I was like, I'm going to go for a walk in the rain. I just had it pour down on me. And then I got on the phone with Kyle and I'm like, I'm angry. And he goes, you know, Drew Barrymore posted this morning, like her out in the rain, like loving the rain.
I saw that.
And it was, as Cody said, the opposite of the Drew. I was the opposite of the Drew Barrymore. Like angry rain. And it didn't soothe me. I never cooled down. So what you're seeing today is like the calm. I was exhausted by it. So now I'm just like.
You cried yourself out. That's like a sleeping technique for babies. It's like sometimes they just have to cry it out. You cried it out.
That's right.
Wow. And
Dan, we had rented a house.
What's going on over there? I mean, what is going on? I've also, Jess, we have to check in, deep divers. Like, I feel so, I was on vacation.
And I want to hear about the vacation.
Like, I have so much to tell you. And I feel so, you know, so there's so much has happened.
But yeah.
What is happening with you?
In July, I just have this desire to check out and leave for a month. And it's not viable to leave one's life for a month without consequences. And like even Casey, who you know at the Art of the Small Talk, the book, she's like, we got to get like chop chop. And I was like, I won't be back till the 29th. I don't know, 31st. Like, and so there is this pull to the mountains and there's this communal mothering going on with my choice grade A moms. I mean, honestly, I was like, at 10 a.m. I'll be at the beach, drop your children. At 11:30, I have to go up. Meredith's like, I'll be down there at 11:30 to 1. I'll be back at 1. Some, you know, this is how.
Wow, beautiful. Beautiful.
This is how we're meant to mother. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it doesn't work with my life because I have, I should be creating content to make money. And there's some stress about that.
So did you work for, did you leave and work for 5 days?
No. We went on this vacation. Nobody wanted to go on to Maine. Okay.
Because here's the interesting thing. Like I've been struggling with this too. After my monologue last time we dove mm-hmm. about like pursuing joy at all costs, just be happy. And then I went on a vacation. I turned off my phone for 6 days. Yeah. I mean, which I do want to talk to you about, even though you definitely didn't respect those boundaries because I turned it back on to find out like 5 million texts from you when I got to the airport.
Because our merch is coming out hot and fresh. And I know you're like, you decide. I'm like, honey, I'm not the visual artist among us.
But where I'm going to push back on you is I did say to you, Jessica, I'm glad to have this open conversation, this transparency with our listeners. I did say to you, I can't take on the merch.
I understand that.
Keep on wanting to pull me back in.
Yeah, because you do have
but I
at
don't
the end
actually.
Of the day, but said you know I gotta go back now. To the drawing board.
I did, yes, and
you
I regret that.
Did.
I did in that moment. I'm now in a different moment.
But
this moment, I'm telling you, I do
okay,
now.
Okay, but you
okay? Let me say one thing. Yes, I had some initial feedback. Now that we are where we are, now that we're going through these little changes, is it an enamel pin?
Oh,
is
the
it
panic,
this section?
The panic.
I actually really feel we're now in a place. Like, yes, phase one, I definitely did want to give some feedback. And I apologize for even doing that because you're right. I did say I want to be hands off. But then why'd you ask?
Because here's the thing, June. I really respect your aesthetic and I know you're good at it.
And you know what? I do appreciate that because no one has and I always want that. So I don't know what I'm
complaining
about.
No, I know you've got something to say. And I want the deep divers to get quality merch. And they are. It's fresh.
You know, listen, I know.
It's coming out
soon. I've talked about this before. A
couple weeks.
I know I've talked about this before, but again, I will never forget. She was just brought up on this show. Drew Barry, if you can get yourself as a guest on the Drew Barrymore show.
Yeah.
Her sweatshirt, her merch sweatshirt that she hands out to every guest. to this day is the finest thing I put on my body.
Well, then we need to find out who makes it. Like, this is the thing. Like, you have access to these things. Just snap a pic of it.
That I will do. That I will do. And that's it.
Because when you said, and again, this is boring because you guys don't even know what the merch is yet. But when you said, I want a crisp white sweatshirt, like that's changing my life. Get out of here.
I'm so sorry he's here.
Does anyone talk about her cape work on this podcast? Paul. It's only for this podcast.
I'm cold.
I know. And it does look like a terry cloth towel. It's so, but it's that means to me, that's a signal that she's actually not well. So I'm glad
you
to
know
have
what?
It.
Thank you, Jessica. As she said, I'm not feeling well.
It's.
Oh, you aren't?
I told you this morning. I
oh, my God.
Getting my period.
Why don't you know?
I
and
just
why
walked by because you look so cute and I had to come in and give you a kiss.
Oh, well, don't that's for the and, listener. That,
that's
you know
for the listener.
I did. I love you. Okay.
Oh, get over it, Paul. Everyone sees through this routine.
I have trouble with texts and emails. And here's what I want to warn you about, because my brain was rewired when I went down
Great,
the mountains.
Tell me.
My brain was rewired for 6 days, Jess.
Oh,
I put that phone away and I didn't touch it.
Wow.
For 6 days.
And how did it
for
feel?
For 6 days.
Tell me. It's like you've been to the Mars.
I know. Because I want you to try this.
Yes.
And I know we both issue each other challenges that we never follow up on.
I was supposed to live with candles.
I know.
I'm back with her again. Circadian medicine mom is here. And she's like, did you ever do it? Like, I didn't tell you candles, by the way. So don't fucking put that shit on me.
I was supposed to look at your budget at one point and what you're purchasing. Like, there has been so many passionate declarations with like zero follow-up.
But
I would love you to try this because you're in the perfect place for it.
Great.
I would, Jess, it was so incredible. And I love reading so much.
Yeah.
I love it. I love reading books. It is like, it's, I could spend a whole day reading and be so happy. And I will say that having children robbed that of my life. And I have not really read. Now, Jane Club Book Club, I will read that book, but I'm always also doing it frantically right beforehand. Like there are things that I do read for, but I haven't read for pleasure in years. Years.
Yeah.
And Jess, I am now at a point with the children where I can read again.
Because you can send them off on their own to just play.
Or they're reading too. Or they're doing something else, but I can read. They can go in the water and I can read.
That's glorious. It's glorious,
and
isn't it?
Yes. It's a new day over here. It's a new day. And not having access to the phone forced me to be present in a way. And it's not just now. I will say I had some anxiety of like what's happening out there. You know, someone trying to get in touch with me.
Did you let anyone know? Because I didn't get a heads up that you were going dark.
Well, and that's where I didn't take care of a few things.
I don't care. I mean, believe me, it's
know. So I didn't know I was going to do it till I got there and I saw my surroundings. I was in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. And something about that air, something about that view, I thought, I can't be with this. And I'm holding up my phone anymore. I hate this thing.
I hate it.
And I hate
prisoner.
It.
It's our
We got there on Sunday night and I just sent a text to Anna Cecilia, assistant to the stars. And I said, I'm going offline. Now,
right.
I also didn't have great service. So that was a piece of it.
Yeah. And I don't either. You know, if I'm not in a house here, I don't have service. T-Mobile doesn't exist in New Hampshire.
Yes. So it's like it was also sort of spurred by that. But I was like, I'm going to have trouble in the mountains. I'm putting my phone in the safe and I'm turning it off right now.
put it in a safe.
You know where I am. I'm at a like she knows the my lodgings. And that was that. I didn't put on a vacation reminder, didn't talk to anyone else, and didn't tell her, like, spread the word. I just went down. And that's what was interesting, too, Jess, is, like, I always feel like I'm – there's a satisfaction in being needed. There's a satisfaction. Mm-hmm. There's something affirming and, like, an ego stroke about, like, people need me.
Right.
People need to get in touch with me. And they need to talk to me. And they need to send me emails.
Right,
like,
right.
But the truth is, like, I needed myself.
Yeah.
In that time. Like, I needed to just be. And we had a magical time.
Yeah,
we had a magical time.
You can't be half and half. You got to go all in. And that's where it's so hard. But at the beach, there is no Wi-Fi. So I've been having some seriously deep conversations because there is nobody can get me. There's an actual phone that rings if someone needs you, I guess.
Maybe.
BB was like, what is this? The children were like, what is this thing attached to a cord? I don't understand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, Sam said that the other day. I don't know where we were, and he saw one. He goes, oh, it's an old-fashioned phone.
That's right. That's what they say. It's an old-fashioned, like, from the olden days.
So, Jess, I'm sorry to everyone for not. And I know it's like, I also don't respond to emails and texts anyway. So it's like, what am I really searching for? But I have to tell you, it did something to me. I have no desire to go on social media.
Oh, what a waste. Except it was almost for like, my precious deep divers.
My
precious deep divers. I only go to the DMs now. Oh my God, this was hilarious.
I'm not scrolling through.
I'm not scrolling through. There was a deep diver. I'm in Colonial Pharmacy, okay? She hears my voice. She goes, oh, my God,
whoa.
This can't be Jessica. She peeks around. She sees Cookie in my straw bag. And that's how she knows it's me. Doesn't say hello.
God.
Doesn't say
You're
hello.
You're keeping Cookie in your straw bag. That
of
is
course
so
I
cute,
am.
Jess.
Good popping her
that's
in there.
So
she goes
cute.
Where I go, friend. But anyway, I was so pissed. She didn't say hi. Now, of course, she was probably respecting your rules, which is don't look at me, don't talk to me. But I was like, why didn't you say hello? A Colonial Pharmacy of all things. Was I getting the Nair ready to wax strips? I don't know. Was I getting stuff for BB's first sleepover, which she had, which fucking killed me? I let her have her first sleepover. I'd been like holding out. I don't know why.
Well, yeah, why had you been holding out? I'm out of genuine curiosity.
COVID, but then who knows?
Oh, sure, right.
To be honest, I was nervous about hosting it. I, in the middle of it, pulled BB aside and I said, how am I doing? She was like, what?
Jess. Well, you know, like one of my favorite moments of all time from Real Housewives of Orange County is when Vicky Gunvalson is having a conversation with one of her children and says to them on like their big day, I don't know if it's a graduation or something, she goes, are you proud of me?
Am I Vicky?
You laugh so fucking hard.
Yeah.
Well, what was the response? How were you doing?
I think it's fine. She was like, I think the mom, she said, honestly, she gave me honest feedback. She said, I think the mom, who is my friend, stayed too long. You guys were upstairs chit-chatting away, and we really wanted her to skit-scat. Next time, please say goodbye to the mom earlier. And I was like, okay, feedback taken. But what was so cute
feedback
about
is
it is all of the bedrooms in New Hampshire are in the basement. It's quite scary down here. They're at floor level, so anybody could reach in and grab you.
Wow. So it was hosted at your house.
At G's house, at my mother's. Yes, at my mother's house, okay? And my mother was like, I wash my hands of this. Like, you handle this. You know, you make your own Sunday bar. She goes, why are you making it so attractive to them? They're going to want to be here all the time. I was like,
oh,
good point.
God.
But I
PC does that make your own Sunday bar.
And then
it's really nice.
Gifts on the pillows. It was crazy.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like
you
it was a romantic.
Out,
I blew up balloons. It was weird. I tried too hard. I was nervous. I wanted them to like me.
Wow. So were there multiple girls there? Or
no,
just one.
Cute. And what was hilarious is they tried to go to sleep in the twin beds And then they said, no, we want to be together in a bed. So then they went over to the other room in a queen bed. Of course, they're all in fresh linens that smell like lavender. And then they were like, we're scared in there. And then Bibi said, what if we both sleep in the twin bed and my mom sleeps in the other twin bed? Then I'm like, wait a second.
They wanted I was, you in the room?
Yes. But honestly, we're in a basement. Like, I get it. I get it. So then I'm in the other twin bed and those two, and Bibi's so tall. These two are snuggled up and Bibi's like holding on for dear life onto the edge of the mattress, trying to make room. And they slept like that all night. The two of them snuggled up. Girls are not happy unless they're touching all
time. It's so true. It's so funny. That is so cute, Jess. Well, it reminds me of like my dad when I was little. Every summer, he used to put together a big tent that was in the backyard. So, and it was giant. It wasn't like these camping tent. Like this was a different kind of camping tent. It was one giant like studio apartment. And I would have sleepovers in there with my girlfriends.
That's so fun.
And I had my friend Lisa Conrad, who I was like obsessed with, and tiny blonde little features, and I felt like an absolute monster next to her.
Yeah,
absolute monster.
Bibi's friend is tiny, like a mermaid.
Oh.
And Bibi wants to pick her out her outfits and braid her hair and all the things.
And I look back and like literally teachers in our school would marvel at Lisa, like look at her and just be like, you're a doll. Like I remember people coming over, our teachers, to say like, you look like a doll. So I was just, it's so inappropriate, but I was obsessed with her. I loved her and I invited her over to sleep in that tent. And in the middle of the night, it starts pouring. Late June in New York, starts pouring rain. And I get scared and I run inside. And I wake up my dad. I'm like, it's raining. I don't want to sleep out there. And he's like, where's Lisa?
You left Lisa in there? Was she asleep?
Yes. Dead asleep.
Oh, my God.
And I go, she's in the tent. And he goes, God damn it. And he walked out there and he slept in my sleeping bag next to her. Okay. And then if I remember correctly, like, because he's sleeping on the ground. Like, we didn't have sleeping bags with any sort of support underneath them. And then I'm pretty sure from that night, he had thrown his back out for the entire summer. couldn't move again.
Every story you tell, I love him more and more. Angry. But it's not fun for parents. Sleepovers aren't a good time. I was riddled with anxiety, but also exhaustion. And it's not fun for the parents. And that's why my mother was so smart to say, why are you making this so attractive to them?
Oh, it's really such a good point. Because here's where, what I get really upset about with sleepovers is just the next day. It's literally like watching people come down from meth. It's so
okay, well, then let me
brutal.
Tell you what happened the next day.
What time did they wake up at?
5. Yes, I said, put on Letters to Juliet. I don't want to hear from you. And then the next day we had to drive to Maine. What a mistake. And when I picked up Dan, she was already exhausted. And we had like 8 hours ahead of us. And Dan was like, what have you done? What have you wrought? What hell have you wrought? And we stopped at Bob's Clam Hut for some fried clams, which were not very good. And then the meltdown that proceeded was I was like, why are we in this creepy place? I want to be with my friends. I hate this place. I hate clams. I hate Maine. I hate this state. I hate it here. And I was like, oh, God.
Well, that's the thing. That's what we sign up for, It's so hard that next day.
And then actually it lasted for like days, honestly, because then we were all in one cottage. It was a lot,
Listen, here's the thing that I want to talk to you about, because it's a resolution I really want to make for myself and I will say, I did it this morning, Jane Club, and I want to talk to our listeners about this new offering we have, but we do something called planner sprints. It's called See Jane Plan. And the idea is like you spend the first half hour of your day planning.
Yes.
Your day, your week,
This is hour one. It's called for Monday hour one for this other life coach I follow. Yeah.
Yeah. And I so it's the idea is like you kind of tap into an intention and how you want to feel and then really take a great look at your calendar. Because what I, thinking of you having that sleepover right before you were leaving the next day.
What a mistake.
I have my entire life, Jess, struggled with this, which is, and we did it to ourselves the night before we left on this vacation and had to wake up at 3:45 in the morning to get on that flight. Paul and I did a live show at Largo.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Live show. You can't even go to sleep after that. You're on meth.
That day I had hosted like a pickleball tournament in my backyard.
Oh, God.
So I was, when I tell you, going to that Largo show after being outside playing pickleball for hours, and I had such a great time, but then realizing I've got to go do this show and then finish packing, and then get the kids. So it was just like, on the level of like resentment and anger I felt the next morning waking up, where I was just like, how did I plan this way? How did I do that?
You didn't. That's the thing.
Well,
you didn't
plan it. I didn't plan it with any intention. I just put things on a calendar and hoped for the best. Mm-hmm. Or even like didn't look at the next day. And so what I'm really wanting to do, and I will say when we came back on a Friday, which the whole time during the week, Paul and I were like, should we stay two more days? Let's think about changing flights.
Wow.
We could stay Saturday and Sunday. We were just having, we didn't want to leave. You know, we really didn't want to leave. And it was good that we did though, because then we had 2 days over the weekend. You know, we got home Friday night. And we had 2 days over the weekend with no plans, and we just found our way back in. And that transition time, more and more, Jess, as we get older, is vital for HSPs like us, you and I are so used to compartmentalizing, like, now I'm doing this, now I'm an actor, now I'm a writer, now I'm whatever you want me to be, and changing of the hats. Now I'm a mom.
I'm a stay-at-home mom. Yep.
Yes. Now I'm a pickleball athlete. Like
right.
A change, all of these different identities that we're so used to like jumping into. And more, I'm like, I need to build in some transition times.
That's exactly right. And that's what I didn't do. That's what you didn't do. And it's like, you don't go from scuba diving up to the surface quickly or else you get the bends.
I think. Or you'll get the bends.
And why did I think that was going to be okay? And then I was resentful that nobody was enjoying, you know, the main landscape when everybody was exhausted and eating nothing but clams.
You know? So it's hard. You know,
yes.
It's hard.
It's about
now,
planning.
I also want to talk to you about, and so that's something I really want both of you and I to really be working on.
Does See Jane plan happen weekly or when does it happen
and
how
morning.
Do I? Every morning?
Mm-hmm.
At what time?
I love this. It's 7 a.m. Pacific time. So it would start at 10 for you and it's just a half an hour.
Wow, that could really change the game.
It's really good. It's really good because it's like you start off kind of thinking through like what is my emotional state? What do I want to feel like? And then kind of backing into that, you know? And so it's really been helping me, but I really have to keep that at the forefront of my mind when I'm throwing things on a cow.
Yeah, well, which doesn't, it's like we feel comfortable in chaos in that way. So then we have to do that opposite action thing. That's it. It's great. In a crisis, I'm great because I'm happy there. I live there.
Yeah, me too.
But everyone else is really drained by it. So,
well, you know, listen, I'm glad we got to talk through the merch and the texts. And what I think is hard is like it's very hard to not take on your energy, because what happens when you want something done is like the request comes in via text to me, then sometimes like via text to me and Cody, or like me, Cody, and Anna, like yeah. three different, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then it's like there's an email, and then there's like another email, and then there's like an email back to the original thread. So it just hits in so yeah. many, it feels so.
It's a tsunami.
Yeah, a tsunami of like requests that are
so urgent. Everything has to be urgent.
So urgent. and I don't know, maybe it is that urgent. I'm just like,
it's not.
Well, but what's that?
It's not. But it's urgent to me because I'm afraid if I don't get an answer, I will forget it ever happened.
Listen, and I love you so much, and I know we're going to work through it together, and I do think it's Deep Divers, like, when you wear this merch, whenever it comes to be, like, you'll really have a backstory on, like, how it came to be. You know, maybe this podcast is just about getting the merch out, and then
and Anna Cecilia, to be honest, she's our guiding light, because at the end of the day, the decision comes down to her.
Always.
She'll say,
she's got a great eye.
Just so you know, I'd go with this. And then whatever she says to me goes. So actually, I don't know why I'm even involving you.
I've asked to not be involved. And then I know I did see. And then I do regret. I know I came in strong also.
It's
going to be one great. Point.
It's going it's to be great. Great.
It's going to be great. Have, and when I tell you, Jess, I say this to you and I never want you to change.
I know, but I am going to change. Know that.
I will change. Oh, no. I'm trying to change.
I am I too, you know. I.
By the way, Lennon says,
so Lennon was away for a month directing, of course, an HBO show. And she came back and she said, and I said, please don't ever leave again. Like, let me be the one to leave. I like leaving, yeah. but I do not like to be left. Okay. And she was laughing that she was like, well, I felt like I got, you know, I caught up on the deep dive and everything. And she's like, boy, that last episode had a real Marissa Wampler energy to it, a real frantic energy to it, you know? And she goes, I was laughing because you and June were joking about your competitive nature, but I know you do want to beat each other at basketball. Like, and I know that's really serious to you. Yeah. So like, it was just making me laugh.
But you know what I really did appreciate? And not to, I don't know, maybe it's a sports podcast, but not to go back to pickleball and basketball and, you know,
maybe
summer
we're the Sklar
sports.
Brothers. Sure.
It is the summer of sports for me. And yeah. I do have to alert you that Morgan Walsh and I did host another tournament this past weekend on Sunday.
So excited to get back.
I have a standing Sunday appointment. Okay, oh, so 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, I'm ordering bagels and lox. I've got my coffee out there, and I've got everybody set up, and there's a little whiteboard, and your names are on it, and there's some brackets, and we go.
I'm coming.
Okay?
For this.
So, but what I want to tell you is Morgan Walsh and I came out on top this Sunday.
Not
we won
surprised.
The tournament. So, it felt really good, but what I wanted to just, because you said something in the last episode just that really, like, it really stuck with me, where you said you're super competitive, as am I, but you also don't care.
Right. That's right.
And I was like, thank you so, nobody's ever, and I really don't. Yeah. And I know for some people don't like playing with me because of the energy I bring.
Yeah, it's aggressive. I don't know if Lennon would enjoy it. Lennon doesn't like to have people in her face yelling. She doesn't like insults. She doesn't like to be, you know, dressed down in public. And so for her, it,
not
this
everyone
might
not, does. It does turn out.
This might not be the venue for her. But I would like to get her on that court because I actually do think she'd probably destroy.
I really did appreciate you framing it that way, which is like, it's about being in the moment, but I carry nothing with me. Even though I'm talking about my win, I really don't carry any, I don't carry the losses and I don't carry the wins.
Set it and forget it. That's what I say.
So have you been playing tennis?
Yes, I've been playing some tennis, but also I am excited to get on the court, but I needed my own paddles because this is a, you have to bring your paddles. And my brother and his wife are coming, and I really want the family to get out there on the court and see if we can't mix it up. But now I have the paddles. I didn't have the paddles, so I couldn't get out there. But
you
now
need
I'm ready.
The paddles.
In fact, I'm going to bring them down. I'd like Dan, Beebe, and I to give it a shot. You know, Dan, great with a racket. Now, he grew up in the slums of Scarsdale, so he always jokes that they had the wooden rackets, the wooden tennis
I
rackets.
I had wooden rackets as well.
Okay. So
I deeply understand. But my father found it in a garage. So.
What's interesting is having that handicap really makes him a scrappy little player. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to get Dan on your court because he's going to come at you with
Sunday
some
morning.
Junk. He's going to play some junk ball. Okay? And that is very infuriating.
Okay.
Wow. You don't want to play at the receiving end of Dan's junk ball, and you certainly don't want to play Trivial Pursuit with that motherfucker because he will bring some knowledge to you that's going to piss you off.
Well, I will just tell you that this past weekend, I had a moment with Morgan Walsh. I literally fell on the ground laughing so hard. I had to take to the ground and like center myself on pavement.
Yeah.
I was fucking losing my mind laughing because Morgan and I were, she was bobbing left, I was weaving right. We were in sync.
Yeah. Okay? In flow, they call it. We were in flow.
We were in flow. And we had some beautiful rallies. And then she, you know, pickle, it's much, you're closer to each other. It's not like double sense. So she was sort of playing closer to the net and she was going for a ball that she missed. Now I had been a little bit closer to her line. And so I went behind her and I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to get it. Mm-hmm. And I wound up and I hit that ball so hard directly at her. Now she turned around, Jessica, she had turned around to kind of watch to see where the ball went. So picture her facing me. I hit the ball. It hit her in like the solar plexus.
God. She went
and I
down.
I saw her go. Literally, it was like, honestly, it was like seeing someone be shot, like your friend get shot directly in front of you. And like you're holding the gun. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
To hurt your friend like that is just funny. That's funny. When else in life do you slam something into somebody's body like that? Oh,
you
that's
get
great.
To. And the look on her face, you know, when she knew it was coming. She couldn't move because it was coming so fast. And I was so furiously trying to return it. It was a wild moment between us.
And she's always wearing a knee brace. Like, there's something about Morgan that comes at these sports with, like, some definite, you know, uphill challenges. But she, God damn it, does she try harder than anyone else?
She has a fire in her.
She's
now,
a champion energy.
I will say she has I'm happy to have her back on this podcast to talk this through, but she's been playing the longest. And I will say you wouldn't necessarily know.
I know. But A for effort, for sure.
Absolutely. And again, we won. So, you know, that's wonderful. No. But I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like she's got years behind her. As my mother used to say, you know, my mother played bridge for many, many years and would always show up and say that she was a brand new player and that she was a beginner.
God,
which
bless.
She was like, I don't want people to know how long I've been playing because I'm not that good.
Right. I'm never going to get that good. That's okay. I don't know if we're the best actors, to be honest, but God damn it, we keep coming back for more. When someone hits us in the solar plexus, we bounce back.
Absolutely. So I really do need you to get back, and I do want to drill down on that date. Do you have a flight?
Well, it's interesting. Do I have a flight? Of course, I booked it for the Sunday, the 31st, which would be turning Beebe around and throwing her back into horse camp the next morning. So I will be moving, especially after this conversation, it back by 3 days. I'm going to come home on the 28th or the 29th probably the 29th. And you know, I have trouble with endings. It will be very hard to leave here and leave my mom's and this life, even though obviously there are challenges here for my workplace. But I do need that 2-day entry.
So I think that's the big takeaway of this episode, like re-entries, you know?
Yeah, re-entries. Like remember Tom Hanks in Apollo 13, you know, you go too fast, you get burned up, okay, when you Absolutely. Come back into the Earth's atmosphere. But, you know, it's also hard for me because I think I fear re-entry so much that I push it off. You know, and I left right after Emma passed, and we left, you know, under the cover of night. And so there is some fear about going back.
Of course.
And feeling those feelings again, even though I know we need to feel them. And, you know, maybe, obviously, I think BB will probably be in a much different place, which is good. And of course, we've got the creature feature coming with, and she sleeps on the end of my mom's bed and also sleeps for 13 hours without a peep. That was something new that happened when we went to MAME. I was like, Mom, did she wake you up at 4 a.m.? Oh, no, she stays asleep till 7, into bed at 9 p.m. Did it. What can I say?
Wow. Is there anything that your mom can't do? Honestly.
All the beds are so well made.
I know.
You can slip in and out of them because they're so tightly tucked in that you really don't have to make the bed in the morning. You just slip out of it. Like it's never, like no one's ever slept there.
So it's so funny. This is so dark. So we'll maybe cut this out. But my mom would always sleep with her feet out of the covers. Okay. And when she was in the hospital, when she died, I know my dad had a lot of regret afterward about not, because they will tuck you in a hospital bed. And he had regret about not untucking her legs. And since then, I've started to sleep with my feet free. And I can't sleep in a tightly tucked bed.
Nor can I. I have to have a whole half of my body free because I don't know what I'm going to need in terms of temperature. And that's the menopause coming for you. Okay, friend.
Believe me, I'm already, both freezing. I have a hot, a heating pad on currently. The AC is on, but I'm also so cold. And
that's the next 10 years. So
I understand that. But it's like so crazy. So I have now developed that as well, or taken that on as like her legacy. But now I do really need it. And even when I go to get a massage, we had a massage in when we were away, and she kept on wanting to tuck my feet in. And I said at the beginning of massage, I need my feet to be free. And she was like, okay. But then instinctually, she kept on wanting to get them back under there. And I was like, they need to be out, both of them out.
Like I love little, that I think the world is divided into two types of people. Those people who can say and do say, keep my feet out, and those who just let themselves get tucked in, even though they need them to be out. I love that you feel, of course, you're able to say that. I would probably let her tuck me in over and over again.
What? But you're paying for that service. Doesn't matter.
I had a friend. Who I convinced to go get her eyelashes professionally dyed with me on I'm sure it was a Groupon when we were like 24. And I went in and got it done. And I came out like 10 minutes, 15 minutes later. And she was in there for almost like 55 minutes. And she said that the woman had tucked her in like a mummy and then whispered, "You're my baby now."
No. No.
And so when she came out, she was like, "Wasn't that weird when they tucked you in like that and like made you get into a cocoon like state just for your eyelashes?" That didn't happen to me.
Well, listen, there is something that does go on. Like even when I got out of that massage.
Was this on your vacation?
This was on our vacation. And Paul we were in a couple's massage and I knew he was having the best massage of his life. And I saw it immediately. Like when his woman came to get him, she was like 6 feet tall and like a very handsome woman and giant hands. And I was like, oh, he's in for a treat.
Yeah.
And then I had like a 20-year-old you know, ponytail walk in. And I was like, okay, oh, no. It's going to be a different experience for me. You know, and she was very lovely and it was quite pleasant. But here's the thing, Jess, and I know I've never, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will be disgusted and say that I'm not relatable and all the stuff. So like, if that's gonna be a problem for you, fast forward, but I had booked us a 110-minute massage. Okay. Now, because I'm always, if I'm given the option of a 60-minute massage, I'd rather not have one.
And again, the world is divided into those who choose the 60 because they feel like that's what they deserve and those who say 110. I never in my life would click 110.
Okay. Because I'm always like, oh, I never want it to end. You know, it's like frozen yogurt. Like, I always want it to continue. I never want it to stop. But this was actually too long.
Whoa.
This was actually too long. And after around 90 minutes, I see the clock out of like the bottom of my eye mask. I was looking at that like little flicker of light. And I was like, what time is it now? Oh my God, we have 45 minutes left. Because it just wasn't.
Yeah. You almost wish you could have just like sex been like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get there. So let's just both call it a night.
Which I have said before.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh my God.
You really are a phoenix, aren't you?
But you're it was different because Paul was there. And so he was, and I was actually like, if I get up or stop this, he's going to be so upset that I'm not enjoying mine.
Right.
We get into a very weird space with each other where it's like, if I've had a really good one and he hasn't, I'm like so upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It takes away, cancels itself out. That's very sweet.
Right. And he's the same. So I was like, if I get up or even if I say to her, I need more pressure.
Then he's going to worry. He's going to worry.
He's going to be worried.
Yeah.
So I did keep pretty mum except for the feet thing.
Godfrey tried to tuck you in like a Polly Pocket. She just wanted you in there.
But if I were staying at your mom's house, like I would. It's also like it is harder to have to redo your bed every day, you know.
You'd want to be tucked in here. I'm just telling you.
Always need my feet out. Now, I do lots of times I like the rest of my body tucked.
Yeah.
But I like those feet out.
I just wanted to say the one thing I did in Maine that really made me laugh about myself is I knew so Mount Desert Island is where we went. And I knew Martha Stewart has a home there because that's why I went. I've long seen her estate. But they never say where it is. So what I did was I cross-referenced like four articles and I found a shop called The Rusticator, which is what they used to call the people in the turn of the century that would come and just take lodging with a farm and try to live off, you know, off the land, like to try to see what that experience was. They called them rusticators. And I got to that shop. And I said, boy, this seems like a place Martha would love. And she goes, oh, she's in all the time. I said, oh, that's interesting. Where do you guys go for your lobsters? And then conversation, I got a list of where the locals go.
Jess,
wasn't I cracking into a soft shell lobster? Did you know they can have soft shells or hard shells? And the soft shells have the sweetest meat. There we were at Abel's Lobster Pound. We were the only tourist. Because that's where Martha goes.
Oh, wow.
On the quiet side of the island. No, didn't matter. I didn't need to see Martha. I needed to know where Martha goes.
This is all very concerning. And the amount of research you've done and the lengths you've gone to. It's all very concerning.
Also, Dan was like, we drove 9 hours to go to find out where Martha goes. I don't get it. He's the last to know, the poor thing. But God, we were at the Hotel Claremont. I posted some things on my stories because the Rusticator, they decorated the place. And then I pretended that I was a guest at the Hotel Claremont, which I was not. And we would go there every morning and, you know, have some of their complimentary coffee and play croquet. And I just said to BB, look the part, my friend.
Jess, this is, you and John Raphael would really have been like two peas in a pod. This is so something my fucking dad would do.
Look, and I'd be so upset
as a child. Yeah, like so hard to enjoy it when I know we're doing something criminal. You know?
Is it though?
Well, listen, I do think that hotel lobbies, it's sort of like legislation out at sea. Like, who knows if a crime happens out there? Like, it is unregulated. So I do think that coffee is for guests.
Okay.
I do think that coffee is for guests. Okay. And I think.
Okay, but they're probably charging God knows what kind of room tax and charges. Okay, so are they going to miss it?
No, of course not. And I love it. I love that you did that. I just, and I think you're right. It's not, it probably doesn't say for guests, but they're not the type of hotel who would think they would have to put a sign out there.
Hard to find it. Hard to find that hotel. It's on the quiet side. You got to know. You got to know who knows where, you know, and
you know, my
what.
Dad was like an original Wedding Crasher. So when the movie Wedding Crasher came out, I was like, oh, This is what my father used to do.
What do you
mean?
You
know, my dad wasn't married until he was like 30.
No.
So he was a bachelor for a long time. And my dad would go to cocktail parties.
What?
For weddings. Like he would go to the cocktail hour.
No, he would not.
He would.
Well, how would he find out? He would see one at a hotel and he would just slip in?
There were places like in the Bronx that had like big banquet halls. And there was, you know, in June, there's always a wedding and there's always a cocktail hour.
No, no.
My father would go to the cocktail hour, eat, drink, sometimes bring a friend.
This is like a Laverne and Shirley episode.
Absolutely. No one would question him.
Oh, God, I love your dad. I need to and get then him would back from the dead.
No, he is. Hang out. They would hang out at the cocktail hour, eat their little heads off, drink.
Meet some girls, probably.
I'm sure. I don't want to know about that. But then when the reception would start, they'd like go to the bathroom, take a little bit of a breather, but then go back in because it was like, no, as long as they weren't seated, nobody questioned them.
So once the dancing started,
they're
nobody, because then you're sitting at anybody's
back in.
Seat. That is absolutely
insane. Yep.
And so exciting to me.
Yeah, so I grew up, Jess, with a parent who was willing to, like, live on the edge that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up with a parent who, you know, loved, like, getting into places we weren't supposed to be. And it was a really terrifying way to live.
I think it's terrifying really for scared. BB, too. But she sure did enjoy that croquet. She never
well, Jess, before. You know, I will tell you, I came onto this podcast today and I was so upset and I was so tired and exhausted, and you really have lifted my spirits. And I know I often say that. I'd like to try coming on with better energy, but
don't ever
really did
come
lift
on.
My spirits to see you.
Just remember that at least one of us is slam. At least one of us is happy.
And that's true. And I do, you know what? I don't know what to say. I thought I have to go up on my dose of Prozac. Maybe it's no longer cutting it 2 years in.
I
don't
switch.
Know.
I'm going to switch it up. Give me something else. Let me see what else we could get in the mix.
Because these rageful feelings and this sort of like the werewolf energy that I'm feeling right now.
Begin the transformation.
I'm beginning the transformation and it doesn't feel good. And so I have to figure something out again because I thought this was totally under control. Anyway.
Doesn't have
to be. Deep divers. Maybe not.
Come as you are. Begin your transformation. You. Who cares? I accept you for all of your body hair.
I really appreciate, or lack thereof.
Or
no,
lack
deep divers. I did want to tell you about, and I just spoke a little bit about it with Jess, but we do have a new offering at the Jane Club, and it's called the Jane Workday. So we have built, after work lives have completely drastically changed these past few years, a open concept digital workspace. So now you can sign on from your home, your coffee shop, and we are here wherever you are. So you sign on to the Jane Workday. You can expect structure, wellness, social responsibility. We have activism breaks and community built into this one purpose-driven digital hive mind. So Monday through Thursday, we are getting together for the full work day and getting it done. Our super genes will guide you through productivity sprints, community hellos, meditation breaks, activist phone banks, and restorative stretches. We also DJ a pretty wonderful set list. You can come for the day or just stay for an hour, be in and out. It is your productivity happy place. So if you head to janeclub.com, if you want to just purchase one single work day, you can do that. They're just $20 a day. You can bundle them together and do a 4-day pass, or you can sign up for a month-to-month subscription, whatever works for you. But I think deep divers will absolutely love it. I am loving it. We just launched it yesterday. I just wanted to share that. And anything else, Jess, that you want to share or plug?
I'll be in this.
Obviously,
swimsuit.
Merch.
Yeah, the merch is coming like in a couple weeks. This wonderful company is doing it, and God, it's going to be awesome, and I can't
it's
wait.
It's really beautiful. So it's very excited. I'm going to go upstairs after this today and find out the name of that sweatshirt. We need it. And deep divers, I did just want to say also that I did a couple of episodes of Phoebe Robinson's new show called Everything is Trash. And I had the fucking time of my life. And I know I talked about like my hotel life and all of that. But working on that show, I just had so much goddamn fun. And I think it's so funny. And I think Phoebe's so funny. So I believe the first episode is already out on Freeform. But if you can, please watch it. And my character will appear in the next few episodes.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
That's all I got. One more thing. I am so sorry, deep divers, but How Did This Get Made is going on tour. And so if you are in any of the cities that we are going to be in, please come to the live shows. They're so much fun. Jess has done a million of them.
Oh, they're so fun.
But we're going to be doing a live virtual show on August 3rd. Then we're going to New Orleans on the 12th, Dallas on the 13th, Houston on the 14th, Indianapolis on the 16th, and Detroit on the 17th, Northfield, Ohio on the 18th, and Chicago on August 19th. Head to hdtginfo.com to purchase your tickets. I do really hope to see some deep dive crossovers.
Be nice.
There.
Be nice to bring a little of that energy. Okay.
I need it personally. Please. I need deep divers in the seats.
Yeah, we do. To counteract that Manzoukas energy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, okay. As I've said before, I do that podcast like under duress. So I need the support and I need the help.
Yeah.
I love you, Jess.
Love
and
you.
We'll see you next
Love
week.
You, deep divers.
Bye, guys.
Let's go on a deep dive. Let's go dive and deep. Let's go on a deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.